It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
You've gone to the movie theater to get takeout? This is another thing that people
Hold on.
People do this.
What? Yes. Why? Because of the butter?
Because it's movie theater popcorn.
But you can get movie theater popcorn in the grocery store.
That's grocery store popcorn.
Popcorn is not different enough that it's worth going in and getting movie theater popcorn.
It certainly is. You're not living until you're going into the movie theater, getting popcorn, and going home. Why do you think they sell it before you have to go into the theater? Why do they sell it where the general public can just walk in and buy treats? Why is it there
That's a coincidence. They didn't put that out there.
Is that true? If that's a coincidence, where do I buy food at a Sabres game? After the ticketed portion. Where do I buy food at the airport? After the ticketed portion.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
I think in my career, that might be one of my strongest arguments I've ever made.
That one?
Yeah. I stumbled on it. It kind of came to me in the moment. Like, yeah, it is before you have to show your ticket.
Yes.
Unassailable. True. Fact.
Which means you could just go in and get it.
Yeah.
Which I still have not done since you brought that up, by the way.
You should consider.
Because I can't think... Well, it would be a movie night.
Yep.
At home.
Yep.
But the point of that is you don't go out.
Get
and you're making me go out to get the popcorn.
Get on the way home. Hey, we're going to have a movie night. Stop at the movie theater and pick it up on your
right,
way home.
Right, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Jeremy and Joe. It's a Tuesday. It's going to get windy today. A lot of hot air from you guys. It's going to get windy today. Really windy today. So be prepared. Highs in the 70s.
Yeah.
While also being damagingly windy. So like a hot wind.
If you pull up the, if you have the same weather app that I do and maybe the other ones do too, and you pull up today's weather, you're going through and there's like, okay, you get the description of like, all right, wind and okay, hail. And then at the end it says isolated tornado.
Okay.
Possible.
All
great.
Right.
I'm well. Glad it's an isolated tornado.
Right.
Not a series of them.
Well, the wind gusts are expected to hit the 40s. And a friend asked me to go golfing. I said, I don't think you're
today?
Gonna, yeah. Yesterday he said you want to go play.
Like
I said, I don't think you're gonna make it out there. It's gonna be rough.
It's good practice to know how to play the wind when you have to face it in an important setting.
I guess so. So good morning. It's Jeremy Joe, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Lot happened yesterday, huh? How about it? If anybody wants to just like call in and give us a thought on it, we'll welcome that conversation. What do I want to say? I learned that Elijah Moore has a certain kind of unrestricted free agent tag that I did not know existed.
Me too. He has until training camp to negotiate a deal with another team.
It basically locks in his salary would be about 3.4. So
right.
I learned that Brandon Bean with. One Bills Live confirmed that the Bills had Elijah Moore in for a visit, and then it went well, and they'll go from there.
They also would know what the money would be.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they would know this deal. It's an unrestricted free agent tender.
Which is weird.
Is what it's called. So
it makes him part of the compensatory pick formula if he signs somewhere else.
Yeah, it's if he is unable to sign with another team prior to the first day of training camp, the Browns would retain exclusive negotiating rights at 110% of his salary, which is $3.4 million. So, actually, does that make it sound like then that Cleveland would be on the hook for $3.4 million and another team wouldn't be? It's a confusing. I didn't know this thing existed.
Me either. Last time it was used was 2022.
All right, well, that would explain why I haven't seen it.
Right. The Chiefs used it on two players in 2022, and that's that. So, I think it kind of lays out what it would cost Elijah Moore. So, that's something we learned yesterday.
And quickly on that, he is a little... I saw a lot of comparisons, just another second-round receiver that the Bills brought in, a former second-round receiver, and he is, and he's not going to go to the top of the depth chart. But I looked at the previous season of all those second-round guys the Bills have brought in over the years and what they had done immediately before getting to Buffalo, and Moore is the only one that even had like any sort of season. He had 61 catches last year. Hamler, before he arrived, had 7. Claypool had 8. Isabella had 2. Chenault had 0. Those are the other second-round, former second-round receivers, and he had 61.
Okay. So he could be in the mix, something that we learned after we spoke to Brandon Bean yesterday when we talked to him. Give us a ring, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Of course, if you missed it yesterday, maybe you saw it on, ESPN, TSN, Yahoo, the moon. Was it broadcast on the moon?
I
might have made it to
like
Antarctica.
I texted you guys. I learned who in my life are the local news watchers because it was on the local news. Maybe all of them. I don't even know.
Like 11 o'clock last night or 6 p.m. last night?
The 6 p.m. news because there was like within a 5-minute window, it was like 12 people like, oh, wow, that happened today, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had every group chat going, family chats going, a lot of texts, a lot of people texting, a lot of people writing, a lot of people saying a lot of things. So it was spicy. It was interesting.
Yeah. It still confuses me. It still confuses me. The tone that was brought at the beginning of that segment. And that I just... yesterday, a lot of my mental exercise was... It had to be rooted somewhere else. And just, like, I'm thinking about, like, oh, could it be that it's just the Chiefs losing losses over and over are getting to him? Or that somebody else in his room... is wanting wide receiver, or that it really was the media from the other day, the reporters that he brought up, or is it Diggs? He cited Diggs pretty early on. Could it be wanting credit for, I made this big move and it worked, where is all my credit for it? Just like a million different possible scenarios like that, just going through my head, like what on earth caused that? Because I listen back to you, to us with Sal, the 3 minutes before, and I just refuse to believe that pretty tame 3 minutes is what caused this all.
It was a very tame 3 minutes. You know, as you were mentioning, like what got him or what has him on edge or whatever, angry or defensive, defiant or bullish. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like he's a victim here or we're victims here. I fully welcome the GM coming on whenever he wants and getting after it. You know, it kind of reminded me of back in the day, and I make this point a lot, and this is not about the Bills specifically, but we live in an NFL era where they control the message, the NFL, so much that any sort of, oh, did you see this? That's why this went everywhere. Because the NFL rarely has fights anymore. There used to be fights in this town all the time. Tom Donahoe started off a movement because he called the fans jerks.
Yes.
That used to happen all the time.
Didn't he have a couple of them?
Probably.
I think Donahoe might have had a couple of them, if I remember right.
He's the GM, if you don't... He's the coach. Help me remember. This is before
2004.
Right.
Early 2000s. Early drought. Yeah.
Right. He's the GM at the time. Right. He's not the coach. I'm getting to another one. There's the get out of town rant. If you don't like it, you can get out of town, which is a famous rant in Bill's history.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, you can get out of town. So, you know, on and on, we've had these dust-ups.
These spats.
Sure, yeah. Between coach and coach or media and coach or whatever it might be. It used to be fairly common. And now, to me, that's a big part of this, is that everything is so controlled by the league. I want to get to, like, the Tyler Dunn story. Like, a lot of Tyler Dunn's story was greeted with, oh, what a hit piece. And it was a balanced piece with lots of complimentary stuff and also some criticisms from sources around the league. And it was viewed as it was unbelievable that that could air in 2025 or 2024, whatever.
Yep.
Incredible. That kind of stuff used to be kind of normal. But the NFL has done such a good job of pulling everything in and nothing gets out. That's draft boards. That's everything. And the draft is a great example of all of that ecosystem coming to light. These teams control their message. They might want to draft 7 different players. They get who they get. They come out and they say, we got the best guy on our board, right? Howie Roseman said that the Eagles drafted a top 10 player on their board, 31st. He's a top 10 player. Like, okay, I guess we have to believe that. That might be true. The Bills got a first-round graded player. And it's not to say that they're lying or it's untrue. It's just whatever the teams say tends to kind of just get picked up, and that's the official phrasing. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Ken Dorsey got fired, and you never heard about what exactly went wrong or how it went wrong. He goes somewhere else. He keeps quiet. He goes to another organization. And the machine kind of keeps on moving. So 13 seconds. We still don't actually have an explanation of what happened in those moments. Tyler had reporting on that about miscommunication on special teams. And that's all I'm saying is a lot of times – stuff is going on behind the scenes, and you may hear, let me get one more if I may, the rumors all around town about the Bengals playoff game. The biggest rumors everybody's ever heard. That's never been reported anywhere. Nobody really knows it for sure because the NFL is so very good, and all the NFL teams and markets are really tight. So
yeah,
that's all. Yesterday was a reasonably good few minutes of radio and a GM defending his plan, which is totally fair to do. And, you know, with a little bit of a couple of shots at us and his own fans. I mean, he made a point to try and make people look silly, which I think was a mistake that he might regret. But past that, you know, it was just business. It was just business.
Yep.
Arguing about prospects. Arguing about should you fire the coach.
Right.
That's happened.
Right.
I mean, we had dust-ups on this station with Phil Housley about his player decisions. And
yeah.
That stuff used to happen.
I remember Shope and Bulldog getting into it with Rex about whether they got run over by the Patriots.
Right.
That was a fun one.
Right.
They lost like by 40, but they weren't run on.
Tom Donahoe and Shope and the Bulldog, the day that Lossman broke his leg at training camp, was
I don't know that one.
Spicy. Yeah, like, show us the tape.
Yeah.
It was like, show us the tape.
Okay.
Because the Bills were telling the story of what happened. Like, oh, is that really what happened?
Uh-huh.
Can we see what happened? Because people that were watching live said that Troy Vincent hit him on purpose. Like, going back all the way to, was that 2004?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I think the whole thing is interesting. Is it overblown? Maybe, maybe not. Though the takeaway is that the Bills' strategy, whether it's in year two or whatever, I guess I don't know where it starts and stops and where it ends. I listened back to the entire show before Bean came on as well.
Mm-hmm.
Among the things said by me specifically,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to make today about receiver. I really like what they did in the draft. Direct quote.
Direct quote.
Said yesterday, in the early portions of the show, people called us about wide receiver. Our first caller was about receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple calls about that. We got calls about the defensive lineman. We talked about that. So, you know, it is also our job to talk about the things that are most important to the fans. And the story of the draft, there's two stories. One, they revamped their defense. And two, they waited longer than everybody thought they would. The GM himself said, I'm surprised I didn't get one until the seventh round.
Right.
So
that, like, there isn't, I don't, the whole thing that's been made of from yesterday, the reaction to it and it actually happening is still, like, again, it is, it's bewildering to me because I don't actually feel like there is, you know, maybe like long-term, philosophically, there would be a different way of thinking right now between us and especially you on wide receiver and where Brandon Bean might be right now.
Right.
But in terms of what the story of the day was and the draft, I don't really feel like there was that much of a gap.
Right.
Right? Like, it was, well, we don't think they're doing it in round one, and we spent a little bit of time on Luther Burden, but we didn't do whole shows on, oh, this is why they should trade up for Tet McMillan in the first round and go all out for it. It's not like we spent weeks on DK Metcalf. We talked about it.
We did.
For sure.
We did.
But it wasn't this three-month-long campaign. We talked more about Miles Garrett.
We talked about Miles Garrett.
Way more about Miles Garrett.
We talked about Trey Hendrickson. I think the
Max Crosby, and Max Crosby was never even near as available as those two probably were.
Wasn't the player I stumped for in the draft the most Malachi Starks?
I was going to say, Friday was just about safety.
Friday, I was sitting here saying they should take a safety.
We didn't even get to safety.
Right.
Yesterday.
They should take a safety. I mean, so anyway, like, we'll get some calls on this if you want to chime in. And, we'll, you know, talk about the Bills, not just about this conversation, because now we're reacting to the reaction, but whatever, we're here to hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
The other thing about it is, like, thinking back to what where we are on this, they had seven receivers in for visits,
mm-hmm.
just like they had a bunch of corners, defensive tackles, and defensive ends. It was just lined up as one of the positions we thought they might take. Why did we interview someone from Missouri on Luther Burden? Because right before the draft, all the mocks turned a little bit to Luther Burden might be there.
Mm-hmm.
Same reason we started talking about Malachi Starks. It's, you know, it's draft season. So that's what we did. And
but that wide receiver big board behind you is empty.
Right.
Like, there's nothing on it.
People got mad about
it. We didn't bring it to the draft. People got two draft parties.
A number of people got really mad about us talking in front of the big board, which has been dormant for a year.
I was going to say, there hasn't been anything on it.
We joked about putting a name on it. We kind of didn't. Never did. We never put a name on it.
Well, we'll get to calls here. Like, the thing that just, I think, really, one of the many takeaways you could have from yesterday is the GM feels right now that he is justified in his actions because they were one of the top teams in the league in scoring. And that they think that that's just going to be repeated. And that to me is where my fundamental disagreement is. It's not that it can't happen, but You heard him say it yesterday if you listened to that whole conversation. He believes they're going to be just as good at not turning the ball over.
Yep.
That is a part of their blueprint. That is a part of their formula to being one of the best offenses in the NFL. And I believe they will still be one of the best, if not still the best. But being as good as they were last year is going to be extremely difficult, not by anything of their own actions, just on luck, even.
Right. They could have bad luck this time around where more fumbles go the wrong way.
But he sounds like he thinks they're going to be just as good at not turning the ball over.
Right. Well, the other thing I would say about it is, you know, he's bullish on the offense and how, you know, we were number one in scoring, number two in scoring, number one if you include the playoffs. Like, he had a number of stats. Like, we scored more points than the Super Bowl champions. Like, congratulations on some point. But anyway, I don't know. When I hear that, I think, that's right. You've got an amazing quarterback. And you drafted him. It's not like you walked into this. You drafted him. You picked him where you picked him, and you shine him up real nice with the help of the coaching staff. And you've got yourself this living, breathing cheat code.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if Bean is feeling like he doesn't get the credit he deserves for building a team that had an offense like that. I think he gets plenty of credit. He definitely has those that question the Kincaid pick, the Coleman pick, the receiver approach. But beyond that, the offensive line's great. He does have – here's one other thing that could be on his mind, and I'll get to calls right after this. He does have an upcoming battle with James Cook. If it's not a full-on battle yet, he might have one. And
right, it could be right
it,
now.
It could be an ongoing battle. It could get bigger. It could get nasty. And he might pound the table and say, I'm not paying a running back. That's one more thing about yesterday. The question that I said I wanted to ask during the segment with Sal that maybe he heard and got upset about, that is just a normal question to a GM. I want to ask him, but I ran out of time and things got spicy yesterday. Would you pay a second running back? These are just conceptual questions you ask a general manager after a draft. Do you believe in drafting a running back second overall? Sometimes you ask a question you know the answer to or have an opinion on because you want to have the GM himself say the words. Which he did. He said, no, I don't undervalue the position. Like, all right, good. We've got that. So here we are. Thinking back to when Howard asked Lindy if your team is tough enough. That was right before they fought Lucic. Lindy said, yeah.
I mean, that feels appropriate at the time to ask that question.
Right.
Then, yeah.
Sometimes you ask a coach if you think you're
going to... Like after the Miller-Lucic hit?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been sometimes the first question.
Sometimes you have to ask a coach, do you think your job is in jeopardy? Do you think you're going to get fired? Sometimes you have to ask that. Same with the GM. Sometimes there are questions, and this one to me was...
This one's new, though, in that we didn't get to the questions.
That's true. We ultimately did ask it, but the question...
We got
the question eventually. Was one of the top three storylines out of the draft. We'll get some phone calls. Ricky Unicel starts us today as we start, and you know we'll look back on this draft and read some more about these players, these prospects, but we'll open up today some phone calls. Good morning, Ricky.
Morning, guys. How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Good. Thanks, Ricky.
I'll make it quick. I just want to say I loved our GM since he's been our GM because of what he's done. The way he went off yesterday, I was at work because I made it to work by then. It left a bad taste in my mouth. I really appreciate what you guys do. I've been listening to you guys for years. While you guys have been on the air, I've had more GMs before him, and I might have GMs after him. So I thank you for what you guys do, and thanks for taking my call, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Ricky.
I mean, it doesn't have to be this Bean versus us thing, by the
no,
way.
No,
you don't have to take sides. Like, everyone wants them to win the Super Bowl.
Yes,
this year.
That's right. And I appreciate the thoughts, Ricky. Like, to me,
yeah.
I don't. Let's make it about whether it's Bean or if it's. I thought this as you're talking about like what's on his mind. If it's about Rory McIlroy driving away fast because he lost the Open, or if it's about. You know, Diggs getting mad at Allen during a playoff game. On the most basic level, I love when the guys that are running my show care.
Yeah.
And if he cares, which I think he does, of course, I think that it's good. And if he's mad at me and other Bills fans that think that they've neglected a position, then that's just fine. We can sit here and get on Kevin Adams for neglecting goaltender. And if he yells at us about it, like, all right, well, he's defending himself. But it doesn't mean we don't have the right to talk about it, the fact that it's there. So for Bean to be fiery, I said this yesterday after the segment. I said, you know, he can come in and do that anytime he wants. He can come yell at us. We're big boys. We can handle it. I, of course, took exception to the fantasy football point because I think he's attempting to belittle any fan that thinks that as not a real fan and not understanding real football, saying you have to build a full team as if we don't know that. I mean, we talk about the team 20 hours a week. We are not forgetting about Josh Palmer. We're not forgetting about Dalton Kincaid, two players he said he thinks we're forgetting about. So, you know, we're pretty informed. We do this all the time.
Yes.
You know, this is not a guy shows up at the Super Bowl and asks a question. This was the people that are more connected than anybody that he talks to, more connected than Pat McAfee on the Bills. Yeah. So, whatever. It is what it is. Robert in Halifax. Hey, Robert.
Morning, Joe. Morning, Jeremy. I want to say about yesterday, I have 2 points. One is a serious one about what was talked about yesterday, and the second point is for Joe and his lasagna. But to the first point, I thought Brandon Bean showed, let me say, not his best side of himself, and I thought when he used the B word, I thought he was unprofessional. I thought the way he approached the conversation to start with did not come in the proper spirit. He's a guest on the show. He represents the Buffalo Bills. And I don't think he represented the Bills in the most favorable light yesterday. You guys were asking legitimate questions. You weren't questioning him on a personal level, but on a professional level. And you were questioning his job and the way he did his job, which is fine, which is good, which is what I think your job is to do. And sometimes you have to ask some questions that can be a bit more, as Jeremy said, spicy. I think you're saying that very nicely. I think you asked legitimate questions, and I think he took it and made it spicy. And secondly, to Joe, I wanted to know what's the secret ingredient in the lasagna. I use a bechamel sauce. I will, if you guys can keep me on so I can listen, because I'm calling from Halifax. Used to live in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Love listening to you guys. Great show. Take care, boys.
Thanks, Robert. Do you have a special lasagna recipe?
No, because what's funny is, like, lasagna, is maybe the thing I order the least, like an Italian restaurant.
You don't have a homemade lasagna you go to?
Not really. Make? I'm not really that big a fan of lasagna.
Whoa.
I'm not going to lie. Sorry, Robert. I mean, the one you're talking about maybe sounds good. Like, I would always order something else. Chicken parm, which I know isn't even like real Italian.
Doesn't like
it's American Italian, but
Bean's going to call back in and say, all right, now this is too far.
One straw.
This is too much, guys.
I didn't like it. It's just not. It's not my go-to. It's not my favorite.
Rich in Lakeview before the break. Hey, Rich. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, first of all, you know I call often. I love what you guys do, but what happened yesterday was good radio, guys. I mean, it's one of the reason you're on YouTube. There's no way you did it purposely, but as of last night, you guys had 33,000 hits, which is about 20 times more in the infancy of putting this on there. There's no way you did it, but fans. We're insatiable, right? You need to do your job. And Bean's in the 54th market. I mean, listen, you don't know. He could have probably had the kids, something happened on the bus on the way in, and he took it, you know, with the kids, he took it out on you. But it was great radio. And I think fans, media, and the teams are in collusion when things like this happen because we are insatiable. We give a crap. I mean, it's better than radio free savers that we get during every broadcast. I feel bad for Duffer and Marty that they have to smile and grin and when everybody sees what they're seeing. So in a couple weeks, you guys are going to be all hugging up at the charity golf match and fist bumping and doing it. You know that's going to happen, but we got engagement, and it shows that we care. I mean, it's like you look, I look at the farming thing. I heard it 40 years ago. I mean, we have the show piece with Josh Allen, and we're still milking the cow by hand instead of bringing in technology and that. So it was just a question asked. Yep. I mean, Buffalo media were small, but I think you do a great guy. And, like, listen, make sure you get a nice selfie and hug up when you guys in June at the golf thing and Joe. And we're going to be kumbayaing, all three of us fans, you guys, and being great radio. Keep it up.
Thanks, Rich. It does drive home one point, and that is that, you know, how many times did Bills fans yell at each other during the drought? Nah, million? It was always a fight. We're always fighting about how they could get better.
About everything.
And now, the only times we really yell at each other, and I like to say that sometimes, a joke like, oh, here we go, now we're going to yell at each other about things. last year the worthy trade was this. For me, it was less about the players and more about, oh, no, this is a thing we're all going to get mad at each other about because we're going to talk about this. And Ken Dorsey is one, and the Josh Allen draft is another, and 13 seconds. We kind of go between the draft and the playoffs thinking like, well, let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of times where we are arguing about a thing and split. So that's what the draft highlights. It highlights your team taking a direction. And Bean did say something yesterday that I want to get to, and it's more of a McDermott conversation, but you know, just pulling a thing out of his commentary. I did this with his end-of-season presser about Allen, and he said something yesterday about McDermott that I want to get to. But Bills fans, it's been a nice road these last 5-6 years, and that's not lost on anybody. Yesterday, as soon as I left, I went and picked up an order at BJ's, and two people – I'm just out of the building for 7 minutes, and two people recognized me and said something about this segment. First guy says, Brandon Bean's looking for you in the back, which I thought was funny. And then the next guy walks by and says, appreciate good football. I'm like, thanks, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Like if that's your message, you're missing a lot of what this is. So 803-0550 is our number, and 1-888-552-550. We'll get more calls in. I want to ask about McDermott and what this draft does for him, for Bean, because, listen, last year was a transition. We're supposed to be bad. They loved to sell that point, and they can't do that this year. People are going to expect them to be great again. And with that comes pressure. Maybe the pressure is back. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550 on WGR.
Here's Madeline next. Hi, Madeline.
Hey, guys. I listen to the morning show every morning, and so I feel like a lot of the people, like you kind of said earlier, who are kind of on Bean's side are people who don't listen to their show like him, because if you did, you would know that, I mean, those two guys were talking about defensive players in the first couple rounds for the past month. Even this morning, they were going over, like, oh, all these picks were great. And, of course, we're going to always talk about wide receivers because – obviously, our core is not ideal for what you want to get to the Super Bowl. And again, like, I think the hypocrisy of him even saying, like, yeah, I haven't listened to the show. And then, you know, I don't want to necessarily prioritize a wide receiver, but then I'm going to work out Elijah Moore. And then I'm going to insult these guys by saying, oh, it's fantasy football and all this stuff. I think it's really frustrating as a fan because you're in this loop. I mean, we just did it again where we lost to the Chiefs again.
So that was Madeline from yesterday. I heard that call and I wanted to pull it, mainly for the part where she said, like, we have been talking about defensive players.
Yeah.
This little spat we're going to put to the bed largely. But anyway, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. I had something I was going to mention to you.
Did I like all the picks? I mean, I liked most of their picks.
Sure, I was fine with most of them. One thing I did want to correct, there's two little points of order here if I could. And again, like, we'll start to move back into like the Bills before this little dust up happened. And that's number one. It was I've seen a lot of people like that we hang up on everybody that calls and we shout down callers, and like, that's a good way to tell me you don't listen. So if today's your first day, like, oh, what are these guys going to do? Who are they going to yell at? You call us anytime you want. We take calls from everybody all over the place. And agree or disagree, like, we'll defend our points. You're able to defend yours. The idea that we just hang up on people and shout and don't like to have different opinions, that's not correct. So if it's your first day here, welcome in. That doesn't happen here. And then the other part was, I forget what it was. Not that important. Anyway, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550.
I mean, what Bean did yesterday, but beyond his own thoughts on it, did he not show that There is a polarizing issue or topic still with this football team that people disagree on? Because even the draft...
Is that the only thing they disagree on? What's the second issue?
That's what I mean. Like,
McDermott and game management?
Like, the draft wasn't really that polarizing, this draft.
No, I agree.
Like, it was mostly, we know they need defense. We know they're going to take defense. There's not really receivers worth taking in the first round. So, corner and D-line, like, there wasn't really much. And it was a pretty calm, cool, collected draft season, I feel like. Bean cites 2018. That was fiery. back then because everybody picked their guy and everybody had their guy they liked more than the other, and everybody yelled about it for 3 months, and that was fun.
That was juicy.
That was great.
Even a year before that, we were all watching the quarterbacks in college.
Right.
And we were all tracking invested.
Tracking them, definitely. I think what Bean brought out yesterday, at least from the I tried to stay offline for a lot of yesterday, but I definitely saw a good amount, is that people disagree on this. That there are those that are, you know, would make the same point that Bean made yesterday, which was we were one of the top teams in scoring. What do you mean? We need a wide receiver. We're fine. Yep. We're going to win the division. We're going to win 12 games. Allen just won MVP. And then there are others that will say right back to that, well, why did he win MVP? Why didn't Lamar Jackson win MVP? Part of the point that was being made during that MVP race was, well, Josh Allen doesn't have as much as Lamar Jackson. Why wouldn't you want him to? And that was a lot of the counterpoint that I saw yesterday. He brought out, I think, a big polarizing topic. And to your question, I don't know what second place would really be right now.
Maybe McDermott and his role.
Sure. That seems pretty cool right now, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, we usually wait until January to get to that.
Or if they go, you know, 6-6 in a regular season, right, then it comes up. But
and one thing I've said throughout this process about the receiver train, which got, you know, it's like a fun bit, just, you know, a name for why we wanted one. One thing I've said throughout this is that I've maybe been skewed because I've given up on the idea of ever stopping the Chiefs. And, of course, the Bills shouldn't give up on that idea.
Well, they clearly haven't.
They have not.
No, they just
– every time they come up against the Chiefs since 13 seconds, it's not – and this is a point I heard the afternoon show yesterday, and I don't think anyone would dispute this. Again, it's how you want to build a football team. The way that they have kind of tried to load up on defense and this full draft, they've not gone out and signed – superstars to big money since Vaughn, but maybe people thought or someone thought along the way that they would load up on offense and really try to just outshoot them. Just really try to, fine, you want to go fireworks? We're going to go fireworks. We're going to build the best offense the league's ever seen, which this offense might be with like one more piece. So I just find it interesting that it's almost like this. It's giving them a pass defensively because I figure, and this is where the Super Bowl changed it for me. Sorry if I'm all over the place. Let me boil it down to this. The Super Bowl changed it for me because for a while it was no one can stop the Chiefs. You can never stop the Chiefs. They are inevitable. They had back-to-back seasons where their offense was not impressive.
Yeah.
And they made the Super Bowl both times. How did they win their Super Bowl? They did it with a defensive draft that was chock full of good starters. We made this point a lot, that the Chiefs' transition year, they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Something we talked about for the Bills. Hey, it's a transition year, but when you've got a quarterback this good and enough good players, you can still win the Super Bowl, even if it's a transition year. This year, and I guess that's what we're at now. What's the narrative of this year? Super Bowl or bust? Win it or else? Like, does Bean feel like it's winning or else?
What's the or else?
Or does, exactly. Or does
that's the problem with that question for me always.
Or does Brandon Bean feel like Billy Bean famously did, Oakland A's GM, who said the playoffs are a crapshoot? The GM of the Oakland A's, one of the Moneyball things, you read the Moneyball book, his whole thing was, my job's to get you to the playoffs, then it's out of my hands. Because
there's too much randomness in a small sample.
Randomness.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Bean feels that way. Feels, these are maybe conversations for the future, you know? Hey, I put together the best offense this team's ever had, and once we're in the playoffs, it's out of my hands.
But the thing is, he does cite, he did it in his press conference, didn't he, after the draft, that he doesn't see them, the offense letting them down in the postseason.
Right.
As reason for why they drafted the way they did, which, I mean, that doesn't sound like to me that type of philosophy, which is that it's a crapshoot. It sounds like you are taking it to mean something, but you're taking the other end of it, which is... Right, like I gave up 30-plus points to the Chiefs. I need to go all out on defense, and there really is no attention paid to. Well, the final drive of the year, you threw a bunch of screen passes to wide receivers that aren't even on the team anymore.
Right, yeah. He did say I would take Josh Allen down three with the ball every time. He said I'd take that every time. Down three with the ball, which is what they've been 2 years in a row.
Right.
I would take that every time.
Yeah, and I would not.
Well, that's one thing that – it's another criticism I had of him – to me, that makes it sound like I did my job, and the offense didn't do theirs in that moment.
Right.
And he says the defense, of course, let them down over the course of the season, which is not incorrect.
Because it's not. It also is a point about – it could be about the offense, too, though. I mean, it's the whole game. You're taking that, I'm going to lose to them over the course of, how long is a football game? 45 minutes? I'm going to lose.
60.
60, right.
It's before 7 a.m.
Sorry, it's before 7 a.m., and I'm watching a lot of basketball recently, so that's all got me wild up. I'm going to take being worse than the other team for the first 57 minutes of the game. And that, to me, like, that's a loser's mentality from the start. And that doesn't have to just be about the defense. It could be that your offense didn't score enough points for you to be in the lead with the ball at the end of the game.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying by that, it's not meant to be a criticism of Josh Allen at all. He is fully capable. He showed it on that fourth down play.
Yep.
He's fully capable
Superhuman. Of,
in that spot, having a legendary drive or legendary moment or moments when he's down three to Kansas City. But to say that I would take that, I would never sign up for that. I want the lead. I want to be up. I want to be better than them. Not I got to get a play at the end to win it. Especially when they've proven over and over that if it comes down to one or two plays, they seem to have that advantage.
Don in Long Island. Hey, Don.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you today?
I'm good. I just wanted to chime in quick about your little dust up with Bean yesterday. I really believe that, you know, when you normally conduct an interview, you do it in a certain way. You always have, like, certain things you want to ask and get across, and you do it in a diplomatic way. And I believe that yesterday, because Bean was tuned in to you and Sal, he got to see more of an unfiltered Jeremy speaking about the wide receiver room as opposed to you, like, you know, massaging the question about that, you know, you being a little upset about it. And because he overheard the conversation versus you getting the chance to ask him the question, I think that's what, you know, led to him coming in fired up. It wasn't like, you know, you normally would ask a question. You had a whole thing with Worthy and the draft the year before, and there was no fight about that. I think you were more fired up about that than you were about this.
But yep.
The difference was in that you got to ask him the question. This time it was like he was overhearing the conversation in the next room, and then just burst in like, hey, what are you doing talking about me? I think that's what led to it.
Yeah, thanks, Don. I think I was thinking about this yesterday. And again, like, if it's just he heard a snippet or he's just legitimately thinks, you know, we're crazy, that's fine. I was thinking about it from a scouting standpoint. It's like, did you do the full scouting package or did you see one YouTube clip that you liked? You know,
one highlight.
Right, one highlight. So, anyway.
Ask the question at the end almost the same way, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I said,
almost the exact same way.
All that happened with Sal was I said, here's the question I want to ask him. I was like a radio tease. Like, I'm going to ask the GM
right.
a thing.
Right.
Here it is. This is what I'm going to ask. And Sal gave an answer. I said, well, that's not really the answer. I'm just going to ask him the question.
Right.
And that was it. Which, you know, we look forward to the opportunities to ask the coaches, ask the GMs direct questions. And, you know, oftentimes it's tough to get real honest answers. And mm-hmm. in that case, Bean came with the honest answer before the question.
Right.
Because he had heard it. 803-0550. Thanks, Don, for the phone call. More of your phone calls as we roll. We're kind of wide open today, so you can join us. It's going to be nice, and it's also going to be windy. The wind's going to come in and blow everyone. You know, get your garbage totes inside if they're anywhere out in the open or on the street, whatever. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.
Good bump.
Yeah. What else happened yesterday? What's the biggest sports story outside of what? You know what? If the Sabres wanted to make any news, they should have just slid that thing right in.
When is this Kevin Adams Terry Pegula meeting?
It's a good question.
Like, are we going to get a report that he's staying, or is it just nothing going to be said?
I don't know.
Because I thought we'll get somebody saying Kevin Adams will stay as the general manager, or, you know, if he leaves, of course, that would get announced.
Maybe today's the realignment day to get the focus off of what happened yesterday. Mo in New Jersey is up. Hey, Mo, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Thanks for calling.
Anytime. Listen, I called yesterday. I was one of the people. You know, like, your show, you guys do a great job of dictating the way your show goes. And you take the calls, and your show kind of just flows, right? I listen on the Odyssey app, and I enjoy listening to you guys. So I was probably one of the callers that contributed to the, if you want to call it, the delinquency of the way the show went yesterday. I was complaining about the draft in the sense that, you know what, we went pretty much all defense, and this is it for now. In my opinion, for Bean and McDermott, right? Like, we need to show something for Josh Allen's career. That being said, you know, you guys are hired to do your job. He's hired to do his job. And I think you do your job well, right? And we're allowed to criticize the front office and the coaching because that's what we do. We're fans, right? What else are we supposed to do? Just, you know, hold hands, sing kumbaya, and just say, hey, I love what you guys do. Let's lose in the playoffs every year and destroy, you know, every good, you know, good feeling that we had for the whole season. It's not how it happens. And for him to come on your show, just my opinion, it's unprofessional, and there's really no reason for the way he just, he came at you guys with like yeah, I was actually surprised. Like, I couldn't believe the force that he came with, the amount of like tenacity and how upset he was. But hey, listen, that's his, you know, prerogative. Maybe he's feeling the pressure as well, right? So it doesn't excuse it, but that's the case. Anyway, I did not hear that conversation live, admittedly, because I do listen on the Odyssey app. I pick and choose when I can listen. But that clip was all over via social media. And if anybody doesn't know what you guys look like.
Yeah, they do now.
They do now. And I play this game in my head. I pretend like, okay, what does this person look like? Jeremy, I had a feeling you had a beard. I nailed that one. And then Joe, I thought you'd be a little bit skinnier. Nothing against you. I'm a overweight guy myself.
Mo.
when I hear the voice and I try to picture what somebody looks like, I think, hey, maybe this guy's like, I thought he was a little skinnier. But no. Listen, for you guys, thank you for everything you do. You do a great job. Keep doing it.
Listen, Mo, I'm not mad because I am happy that I did get – it was nice to get aggregated everywhere being decked out in Liverpool gear yesterday.
It did happen.
The day after winning
Speaking
the title.
Speaking of what we were wearing, I mean, I'm wearing an Encore golf hat. So,
yeah.
I saw Brett from Encore, who I'm good buddies with, and said, like, you're welcome. I didn't plan on that. But, yeah, the Encore golf hat. Thanks, Mo, for the phone call. You know, yeah, everybody's allowed to criticize the GM and the draft and, you know – talk about the team and get after it. That's the other thing about it. I guess, whatever, we can dig into the minutiae of what happened. But the larger point, you brought up McDermott and Bean, and maybe we'll get to this on the other side and more of your phone calls as well. Should anybody really assume McDermott wanted all defense? What's more realistic? I mean, McDermott probably wanted a guy too for his offense. At the end of the season, he says stretch the field horizontally and vertically. He said that. So I think there might be reason to believe the coaching staff is wishing they did a little bit more. It's not just the fantasy football guys. It's I think the head coach might have wanted a receiver. I think the head coach might be a little bit, hey, thanks for a million defensive players. We'll have some battles in there, but we better have an answer out there because, you know, we're a little bit light. I also do think mixed in this is that the Bills are stunned that Mac Hollins left. Still stunned that that happened. So Bean brought him up yesterday a little bit, and I just don't want to let go of when he was asked what happened there. He said you'd have to ask Mac. He could just say, like, you know, hey, and that might be a diplomatic way to say it, but to me it sounded like they're stunned that he left and they lost him.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550. Not that he was some irreplaceable player. 1-888-552-550. Jeremy and Joe, wide open for phone calls. When we return, thanks for your calls, and thanks for listening. Whether you agree or disagree, you can give us a ring.